Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, November 22nd. I'm Ray Graff. Today we welcome back our friend, Chef Rick Orlando. Rick is a chef, an entrepreneur, a writer, a leader of culinary tours to Italy. Thanksgiving is next week, you know. Chef Orlando is here to offer thoughts, tips, recipe ideas to help make your holiday table a classic. Give us a call at 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. voxpop@wamc.org. That's the email address. The number is 800-348-2551. Chef Rick Orlando on your Thanksgiving questions. All kinds of good stuff coming up after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Today on Food Friday, we welcome back Chef Rick Orlando. Rick is the owner of the Richter Scale brand, makers of Rick Orlando's best line of hot sauce, barbecue sauce, and custom spice rubs, including that legendary Purple Haze psychedelic hot sauce. He is a chef instructor for the Capital Region and Kingston area not-for-profits. Rick writes a monthly column in Sante Food and Wine magazine. He hosts monthly pop-up dinners all around the region. And he hosts small groups on immersive food, farm, wine, and culture tours of Sicily. Always great to have him on this show, especially around Thanksgiving time. He has tips, pointers, and recipes for you. Give us a call if you want to join in. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551 or email voxpop@wamc.org. Rick Orlando, happy Thanksgiving. Welcome.
Hey, Ray Graff, back in the living room with you. I like it, you know?
Hey, man, you just got back from Italy, right?
I hosted three tours of Sicily from beginning of October through the middle of November. A lot of quirky things. It was pretty interesting. I had a lot of time off in between. I went to Milan with my wife. I visited my son and Luca.
Yeah.
I spent a few days in Bari because next year I'm launching my first Puglia tour, and I went and visited a winery and a farmer and a couple of other quirky people. Among other things, one of our many guests was Rosemary Armeo, and
she was a lot of fun.
I know
that's great.
I know she still has fans out there. A lot of fun. I did a podcast with her, but she was great to have on the trip.
And How's she doing?
She's a Sicilian American, so after the tour was over. She went to her village's hometown and bought a bunch of ceramics and stuff.
Yeah.
She was great.
Outstanding.
And then the last tour, so this is like perfect WAMC conversation. The last tour started November 5th, and it was just six people because four of the people on that tour begged to be moved to October, so we allowed them. So we had 16 on one tour. I normally do 12.
Right.
And only six on this one. It was 10 originally. And the first day of the tour was the first day it had rained in like 4 months. And it was a day after the election.
Oh.
And I walked down to the terrace at the Hotel Villa Schuller in Taormina, and everyone's inside the little solarium because it's raining, and they're all crying. And here comes Mr. Rick saying, hey, we're going to have a great time for the next 10 days.
Well, you know.
I use my magic skills. No, we talked about, you know, experiencing the love of the people of Sicily and how well they're going to take care of you and how sweet they're going to be. And it was a conversion. It was great. We had an amazing trip. But that first hour, it was an intense challenge for me psychologically to say, how do I, because I was devastated and I had to go out there and cheer people up.
It's all showbiz, babe. That's what you got to do, man. 800-348-2551 is our number. It's Thanksgiving chit chat and various other things with none other than Rick Orlando today. Well, I'm glad you made it back. And, you know, Thanksgiving is coming. It is my favorite holiday.
Mine too.
I'm not a turkey buff, but
you haven't had mine.
Well, we've done it according to Rick before. We have brined.
But what about
it.
The thigh?
I don't know. In general, thigh. I like thigh, but I don't. I don't know what you mean.
Thigh. I have turkey thigh. Some of the best meat you can. I mean, for my money, amazing. Like duck almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And you don't
done
do
correctly.
You don't do the turducken thing, right?
I've done it. It's not youth. It's not worth it.
What's the point? What's the point other than a freak show?
The wow factor when you bring it out to the table and you say, hey, there's a chicken and a duck and a turkey and it's rolled up. It's like a galantine and a ballantine and a porchetta and everything all rolled into one. So it's the wow factor on the table. But
how do you get to the inner layer? What's in the inner layer?
Well, you slice it, Slice it. It's like a big roll.
Oh, really?
You roll it up.
Wait,
yeah.
You don't put a hole with bones and put everything
no,
in?
No, no, no. Oh. You bone them out.
Oh, I thought you had the whole shebang. You
no,
put,
I mean,
you found a little duck.
The classic Paul Prudhomme recipe is you bone everything out.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
And then you take the dark pieces of meat and the livers and you chop them up and make like cement to layer it all together. It's really good.
You know, that sounds better than, my impression was, A, how do you find the right size duck to get inside?
Oh, it's like a Bugs Bunny skin.
Yeah,
just drop them in there.
And then a very small sparrow in the middle. No, but the thing is, man, it's like I also had a complete misconception of chicken and waffles, which I think is the weirdest thing, because I thought that should be boneless chicken with waffles. And then I saw people having waffles with fried chicken, just chicken leg. And syrup. What's the point? You're going to get the syrup on your hands.
It's a thing. So we did it at the bistro for brunch for a while, but we took it to the next level. I took the waffles and smeared them with boursin, which is like garlic cream cheese.
Yeah. Oh.
And then we put the fried chicken on top, and we drizzled it with local maple syrup that we infused with smoky chipotle chili. So chipotle syrup. It's a mess. It's a thing. People say they love it. They only say they love it because, Instagram tells them to love it.
Ah, well, there you go.
But chicken is good and waffles are good, and chicken and waffles together are, it could make a sandwich if it was boneless.
That's the thing, and that's where I have a problem with it. But
Although, I have to say, growing up in New Haven, my neighbor Willie Gully was African-American, and he often had fried pork chop sandwiches and fried chicken thigh sandwiches on the bone. In the bread, yeah.
Because if you take the wrong bite, you break your teeth.
Well, I would say, what's the point of that? And he goes, you got to learn. It's a skill. It's one of the many skills you learn.
Chef Rick Orlando's our guest today. Thanksgiving's coming up. If you need some pointers, he's the man. 800-348-2551 or WAMC WAMC.org is our website where you can listen online anywhere you go. But if you want to email, you got to put VoxPop at WAMC.org in your email engine.
Hey, before we jump in these calls, man. I want to do a little consulting to the world here.
Okay.
A little therapy.
Sure.
Thanksgiving is a big food holiday.
Yep.
Don't get stressed. If you get stressed, what's the point? You see that seven fishes scene on the show, The Bear, and what's her name? Jamie Lee Curtis is losing her mind because she has to make all this food for the family. Just relax. And you know what's really great? A lot of the things that we love for Thanksgiving, you could start making this weekend. You can make your sweet potatoes. You can make your stuffing. You can make all this stuff in advance.
Yeah.
Relax. Have a nice day.
You know,
go to a dispensary. Get some wine. Relax. It's a holiday. Have a good time.
All right. Rick Orlando's our guest, 800-348-2551. You're laughing at your own jokes, are you? This email came in from Jill. Quick question. I have enough guests that I need to cook two turkeys this year. My plan is to cook one on Wednesday and one on Thursday. My question is, how do I reheat the Wednesday one to have it be just as good as on Thursday? My plan is to carve it Wednesday and store it in an aluminum disposable baking dish overnight in the fridge. Thoughts?
Well, I probably wouldn't carve it.
Really?
I would, if possible, I would break it down, like take the two pieces of breast off whole.
Yeah.
And wrap them in foil. Take the leg and thighs off whole and wrap them in foil. Use that carcass to make your amazing gravy and your stuffing. And then reheat them. Some people say to steam it. I usually put it in a pan with a rack and a little water under it. In foil, in the oven for half an hour, 40 minutes.
Will anybody be able to taste the difference?
Sure.
Yeah?
But not if you put enough gravy on it.
Yeah, that's the thing.
And or do you know how to, like going to Vegas, you shuffle the breast slices, the fresh one.
Burn the top card. Yeah, I'm with you 100%.
No, but, if you slice it, it's really going to dry out.
Yeah.
Really going to dry out. But at least if you leave that breast whole, wrap it in some parchment and foil, and you warm it, slowly, you can do it that way. The other way to warm it, and don't shoot me, but is to wrap it in just parchment paper and microwave it slowly. Because the microwave
won't dry it out.
It heats from the inside out. Just do it like 2 minutes at a time
till
you get it warm. Because the microwave, or Chef Mike, as we call him at the restaurant, I would never cook anything in it, but he's really good for reheating and rewarming things. So
the number here is 800-348-2551. You mentioned the turkey breasts. Are you one of those people who will – if you're making a lot of that stuff, take it apart and cook them separately?
No.
No.
No. Not for Thanksgiving, because to me the whole idea is the aroma in the house, presentation of the big turkey. But once it's rested for half an hour, my brother-in-law, Vinny, and I basically set up a table in front of my stove. Well, there already is one, but and we carve everything up then.
Yeah.
So at that point, yeah, we're not going to slice pieces off the whole thing. We'll take the breasts off and slice it from there for sure. But no, if you really know how to roast a turkey, and I did everybody a favor at rickorlando.com, and there's no K, I put up a nice printable PDF of about 10 Thanksgiving recipes.
Amazing.
Including my brining and baking a turkey. However, if you don't want to be bothered with brining, the technique that I've come up with for roasting turkey is exactly the opposite of what most people do, and it comes out great.
Go.
That is, so you season it, right? Whether you brine it or not, you season it well. You don't put it on anything. You put it right in the pan because you want to get that nice caramelization to make your gravy later.
Right.
And you turn the oven up to 500 or 525.
Oh, right away.
Start.
Wow.
And you throw it in there, and you set your timer for, say, 20 minutes, depending on the size of your turkey. And you take a look at 20 minutes, and when it looks perfect, like golden brown,
right,
and you know it's dead raw in the middle, then turn the oven down to like 275, 285, and let it cook about 12 minutes per pound. Because the molecular dance that protein does when it's really hot, it makes a lot of friction and gets tight and it makes it like tough. But when it's slow, it's like getting a slow Reiki massage. So you finish it slow,
yeah,
and it stays tender that way. And
that's why you do brisket slow and low.
Yeah. Ah. So, but you start it hot to get that crisp, because a lot of people crank it at the end to brown their skin. But what happens is the outer part of the meat, maybe the middle part of the breast stays moist, but the outer part gets dry because it gets too hot. You don't want to get it above 175
inside
degrees. Yes.
And how deep do you have to go with that meat thermometer to get that done?
Stick one in the thigh, one in the breast. The breast really only has to go to 160 and the thigh to 180. But when you take it out of the oven, the molecules keep moving. So 175 will go up to like 182,
yeah,
about 10 degrees, about 10%.
All right, let's take a quick break here. I want to talk to you about stuffing and dressing and where you stand on that. And then we'll hit the phones, 800-348-2551 or VoxPop at WAMC.org. Rick Orlando's here. We'll be back. It's Chef Rick Orlando back from Italy, as Rocco would say.
Italy.
And
I'm from Tegea.
He's here to talk about Thanksgiving with you. All right, quickly, and then we'll go. We got an email from Marilyn, and then we'll go to the phones. So I said stuffing or dressing. In the old days, you just jammed it all in the bird and cooked it up, and I never liked it very much. I'm much better now that we do it outside and in a glass Pyrex and do it that way. How do you do dressing and or stuffing?
Absolutely the same way. I do it in a pan. I like the crispy top.
Yeah.
I stuff, like, when I do my turkeys, I like to create a little internal steam. So maybe I'll stuff an apple and an onion in my turkey, or an orange and an apple.
Yeah.
Or an onion and some herbs, just so that it gives off some flavor. But as far as... we call it stuffing, even though it's not stuffing.
Right.
And down south, they call it dressing.
Yeah.
It's like dressing and stuffing, kind of the same thing.
Yep.
I like a lot of celery in mine. Celery, onions, a little bit of carrot, saute in fat. If you have duck fat, it's the best, or you get leftover turkey fat from your stock. Saute it good. Take your bread. You can dice it really neat, or you can just tear it up. Whatever turns you on. I mean, I'm kind of more of a Kandinsky kind of thing.
Ah.
I like a little, rip it up. And
Kandinsky.
And then have my hot stock, and I keep adding a little bit of hot, and sage, always sage.
Yeah.
Sage is important. And then I add the hot stock while it's still in a pan, a little more hot stock, until it's wetter than it should be. And then I transfer it to a baking dish and put it in the oven because then it'll drink it up.
Yep.
And almost like a bread pudding, right? It pretty much is savory bread pudding at that point.
Yeah, you're absolutely really good.
And we've done other ones. We've done like chorizo cornbread stuffing, which is really cool, where you make a big pan of cheap cornbread and get some good Mexican chorizo and cilantro and jalapenos. Same thing, though, adding the stock until it's wet.
Yeah.
Not like, well, beyond mud, you know, sloppy mud.
Right.
And then when you bake it in the oven, it'll dehydrate, it'll soak it up and get the crispy top.
Remind me, I'm going to email you, or I'll have my wife email you, my father-in-law's recipe for dressing. He's gone now, and maybe it's because of the dressing. I'm not sure. But it's sausage.
Oh, the sausage. Yeah, and sausage is
important. Ground up bacon, too, and onions and all this stuff. It is, like, I'd eat that by itself without the turkey, you know?
Yeah, make an ice cream sundae with some gravy, some mashed potatoes.
Have a quick catheterization of your heart at the end.
You'll live.
Marilyn writes in, hello, Rick. Thank you for sharing your Thanksgiving guide and recipes. I downloaded the whole thing. Yeah, you got a fan. My question, I'm defrosting a 14-pound Shady Brook whole young turkey labeled contains up to 8% brine. Should I also brine this turkey? That's a great question.
Okay, so no. That's a really cool thing that the turkey companies do because 8%, and it happens with chicken too, and even ever tender pork, 8% of what you're buying is water.
Yeah.
You're paying for the water.
Yeah,
it
weighs more.
But it's already in there, so it probably has salt or some sodium bicarbonate or whatever the hell they use.
Yeah.
And water is in your turkey. So you don't want to wet brine it. You want to dry brine it, which is the night before. Make a good seasoning mix. Salt, pepper, maybe paprika, maybe some thyme, if you like garlic powder, whatever you like in a nice crusty seasoning, and rub it up really good and kind of wrap it in plastic wrap and let it sit overnight in the refrigerator or in a cooler. That's another tip I tell people. I don't ever ruin my fridge. It's like get a cooler and a couple of ice packs and put it in a cooler. You can line the cooler with a garbage bag if you don't want to contaminate it.
But you really got to watch the temperature on that thing, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, no. I mean, if you put it in there when it's really cold and you put ice in there, it's going to stay 45, 50, and you cook it through.
I mean, I got to tell you, my wife and I do this, your method, I mean, every year pretty much, and it never fails. I mean, we brine it in that fashion, and we do the wet brine most of the time, though I don't know about this year. We're going to find out.
Well, the dry brine, if you ever pre-brined turkey, will actually pull some of that liquid out a bit, and it'll infuse the flavor into it more. That's a good way to do it.
Rick Orlando, so I forgot to mention, you brought these chicken wings, which might have been the best wings I've ever had, and we dipped it in this Trinidadi, Rick Orlando's best, which is tremendous. It's like a mustard, yellow mustard.
Like a Caribbean, like what they call yellow sauce in Trinidad.
Now, could you do something with some of your spices and dry rub, some mustard type thing, and put that on a turkey?
Well, I wouldn't use that, but I have used my dry one. My Q-rub is the barbecue rub, which has got smoked paprika and salt and sugar is a great rub. And then years back when I was doing the Today Show on a relatively regular basis, I did a Latin one where I used my adobo, the same rub that was on the chicken wings, my Latin adobo rub on a turkey, and it was incredible. It tasted like a pork pernil, but it was turkey.
How much turkey did Al Roker eat?
Back then?
A lot, right?
Well, you know what? He really eats a lot on television, but I leave a lot behind, and who the heck knows what happens? All the guys, the techies, the lighting guys, the stanchion guys are all lined up.
We don't eat much on radio either. It's tough to talk and eat at the same time. But you know who likes to talk? Joan in Schenectady.
Joan! 800-348-2551.
Joan, hello, Joan.
What is a rainy Friday without my friend Joan calling me up? Hi, Joan.
Hi, I am your personal sunshine.
What do you got?
Well, what I have are plans with one little last thing I need help with. I'm really digging the mushroom cutlet thing we've been talking about, first with puffball, then Amy helped us out with the lion's mane, Ray. You had that pan-seared thing. So I'm doing a lion's mane kind of cutlet plan. For my, protein Thanksgiving meal and for sides for the rest of my family. And then I'm going to cut it up like a London broil. So it's like thinner strips that people can take a little or a lot. I'm thinking of a sauce and I can't make it come into focus. So I'm hoping for your help. I'm thinking like a rich sauce that you would just drizzle over the cut pieces. I was thinking red wine. I was thinking some kind of a glaze.
You know what I would think with mushrooms? I would think of a fortified wine. Madeira. Port.
Madeira.
Port might be heavy for Lions, but Madeira or even Marsala or even sherry, like a reduced sauce with sherry. You could take some dried mushrooms, make a little mushroom stock, some shallots.
Ooh.
You can either mount it with butter or you can finish it with a little bit of slurry or cornstarch. But I think a Madeira sauce is great with mushrooms. Maybe a little rosemary in there.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was easy.
But that's it.
That was easy.
That was
Joan's easiest call to date. Joan, have a great Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you soon.
Love you, Joan.
Happy, guys.
Bye. 800-348-2551 is our number. 800-348-2551 or email voxpop@wamc.org. Chef Rick Orlando is here. We gear up for Thanksgiving, and we'll go to Connecticut. Max, you're on.
Hi, thank you. Two things. One, I totally love chicken and waffles.
Really?
It's the
good.
Best.
Okay.
So what do you love about it? Tell me about it. How do you approach it?
Well, I approach it with a fork and knife.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And it's the sweet, the savory, the crunchy, the chewy. And
so do you like break the chicken off the bone and like put it on the waffle and then eat them like together in a bite like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So cut the middleman. Why have bone chicken? Just get boneless chicken and slap it on there.
Boneless chicken is never as good as bone chicken.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Max.
And usually you'll get like a thigh or a breast, like a deep fried breast that's got like a bunch of meat on it, not necessarily like a leg. That's a bit of work.
Okay.
My original question is: can we start leaving bay leaves out of things? Can anyone even taste if it's even in there?
Okay, that's a perfect question that I want to nail you on.
Okay.
Because I just in the middle of writing an article about it. Bay leaves are magic. However, those dry razor blades are horrific.
What do you mean?
The ones you buy dry that are like 10 years old and dusty and you can't eat them because they'll cut your stomach open.
Okay.
But when I started traveling to Italy, I had the epiphany of fresh bay leaves. Now here, unless you are a good gardener and can move your plants inside and out, it's difficult to have fresh. But if you go into the supermarket, normally hanging in those little plastic packages that have the tiny bit amount of herbs in them for like $3, you'll find bay leaves.
Mm.
Buy one, take it home, put it in a, can I say Ziploc bag?
Why not?
A resealable bag, and keep them in the freezer and pull one out as you need it, and it'll be an epiphany. They are amazingly perfumed and delicious. They work incredible with tomatoes, with roasted peppers, with sauces, with wine. They're not a dominant flavor, but the difference is palpable.
Are you buying
that? Use a fresh one.
Are you buying that, Max?
I'll certainly try it. I like the idea of like having single serve in the freezer. I do that with like leftover egg whites. I do that with leftover chilies and adobo sauce. Like flatten them out in a zip top bag.
Yeah, the bay leaves. I'm telling you, the bay leaves. I change my base tomato sauce, right? My salsa pomodoro, not like a meat sauce. My base tomato sauce is just onion, garlic, olive oil, good quality canned tomatoes, a pinch of salt, and one bay leaf. And I cook that, and I get the number 10 can, so it makes me like 3 or 4 quarts, and I keep it in the freezer.
Okay.
And then when I need one, I pull it out, and if I want to then add basil or parsley, I can do that. But the sauce, that one bay leaf, brings out this perfume of the tomatoes. It's an imagine. They're magic.
Who knew? Max, thanks for the call.
And they're good for you.
I didn't know cans were numbered.
The large can.
Really?
They're called the number 10 can.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I don't know why.
How long has it
been
like that?
I think they weigh about 10 pounds. I don't know.
Oh, interesting. This email from Fran in Gallatin. It's Gallatin, not Gallatin. It's Gallatin.
It depends. I got gallstones.
You got a lot of gal to say that. Subject heading, I can hear you. Fran writes, many thanks to whoever made it possible to listen to WAMC on the website again. So that's fixed. Thanks, Fran. By the way, Fran says, for Thanksgiving for one, I'm going to make crab cakes if I can't get half a whole turkey breast at my local grocery. What would go with them? Crab cakes. I like your thinking, Fran. You don't always have to have turkey.
Crab cakes. What would go with crab cakes for Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
What? So I'm just wondering.
You're stumped?
Crab cake. No, I'm not stumped. I'm just analyzing. Do you want to keep the Thanksgiving theme? Do you want to make the same kind of vegetables? Maybe some pumpkin or butternut squash, maybe some braised cabbage or some Brussels sprouts.
Will that go with the crab cakes?
Eh.
I think an ice cold beer. And wear a Puritan hat, and then it's like Thanksgiving.
Well, yeah, you should really make a clam cake then if you're going to do that.
That's what they have?
Or cod cake, really, cod cakes.
Actually, cod cakes are the deal.
You know what? Let's get Plymouthy here.
Yeah.
Cod cakes all the way.
I mean, that's something that you just brought that up. It's something I had when I was a kid. Yeah. I haven't had a codfish cake in years.
I wrote a song called Fish Cakes once because in Cambridge I used to go to this place, and every Friday they had for $1.99, it was called the Harvard Donut Shop, fish cakes. And they got two of them with a little coleslaw and a little potato salad, and they were cod cakes. And
I'm sorry, they served cod cakes at the donut shop.
It was called Harvard Donut Shop, but it was a counter. It was like a luncheonette.
Gotcha.
And that was a place that had the BLT for $1.75, but the LT for $75 goes back to Depression era sandwich, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, this email from Nate, then we'll go back to the phones. 800-348-2551. Nate says, I have a duck breast to cook. Do you think jasmine rice will go good with that? And what do you recommend for a sauce?
One duck breast off the bone, I'm assuming. If it's a moulard breast, it's a big breast. If it's a pekin, like a regular duck breast, it's probably only enough for one or two, maybe one and a half people.
Okay.
A moulard is usually 14 ounces, so it's enough for at least two people. This time of year, I mean, it's really great to do something that is seasonal. I'm really pushing seasonal. Maybe taking some finely diced apples and shallots and sauteing them, a little stock, maybe a little bit of calvados or apple brandy, like an apple, or and then some apple cider, like a cider based sauce. It'd be very festive for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
It's easy to go with a jam based sauce, like a orange sauce or a blackberry sauce, just by using stock,
yeah,
liqueur and jam. But I think an apple based sauce would be really festive.
Okay.
Maybe a little fresh thyme in there. Beautiful.
All right. Before we get to the next call, just quickly, we had Ellen Gray, the pie lady, on last week.
Ah.
And
she's born on 314, right? My daughter's birthday.
I don't know, but she's booked for 314 next year. So what pies are you going to trot out?
Well, I don't like to use the word trot in Thanksgiving.
Well, but, turkey trot?
Let's see. I will probably make one, either a pie or a crisp with local apples.
Yeah.
Everyone, so we have 30 to 40 people at my house.
Jeez, you better make more than one pie.
My wife is one of nine.
Okay.
Seven of the nine are here for the holiday, plus we have friends. And so everyone brings stuff. There's always pumpkin. Pumpkin is just a traditional thing to make.
Is there a cover charge?
No, food
charge.
Bring something. Don't come empty handed.
All right.
Booze or a bowl or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So pumpkin's always good. Sweet potato pie is really good. I have a really nice recipe for the traditional Mississippi mud pie, which is not like that real lots of toppings. The Mississippi mud pie is basically like a chocolate fudge pie.
Yeah.
But the reason why they call it mud is when you bake it, it separates a bit, and the top layer gets kind of lighter color and cracks, so it looks like that mud when you step in it, and underneath it's really dark.
Yeah.
So I like to make a Mississippi mud pie occasionally. By the time dessert comes, we're done, and we start at 1 o'clock, and we don't sit down at the table till 6.
So you have Thanksgiving dinner at 6?
Yeah, because we have oysters and caviar and deviled eggs, and then somebody brings the amazing antipasto from Queens, and we have the big antipasto and other appetizers. My brother-in-law brings a big cheese thing. And then around 3, my sister-in-law, Laura, always makes handmade pasta, and we eat it standing up in little plastic bowls. So she's making cavatelli this year with tomatoes that she can. And we have a little pasta and walk around. And of course, the wine is flowing. And then there's other appetizers. My friend Ellie stuffs mushrooms. And by 6 o'clock, we sit down and have the turkey
dinner. How do you have any room left at 6 o'clock after all that?
Well, we're standing. We're burning calories the whole time. My Apple Health app is saying, you can eat now. You've stood for 3 hours. We're not all standing.
It's like
Thanksgiving
at Emperor Nero's house. I mean,
it's a long day.
All right. Let's go to the phones. Let's grab one or two before we get to the next break. Debbie's in Rensselaer. Debbie.
Hello, Debbie.
Hi there. Thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure.
I had a question. Well, I originally had a question about serving people that are vegan and making a gravy, but my bigger question is, please tell me what seasonings you would use if you make an oyster stuffing. Oyster, you know, we don't stuff the bird anymore, but
right, yeah, you know, yeah, like
that
a New Orleans.
That was something I grew up with, and I can't get there.
Okay, so I've made that many times. Onions, celery, okay, a little bit of bell pepper, like think Creole, right? You saute the onion, okay, celery. If you don't like the bell pepper, leave it out, but that's part of it, but not as much bell pepper as onions and celery. Shucked oysters, the oyster liquor. If you don't have enough oyster liquor, you can buy a bottle of clam juice and
what's
use that
oyster liquor?
The liquor from shucking, the liquid that you get when you shuck the clams.
They don't
oysters.
Ferment that, right?
No. No. But okay. You also,
so
if
you're
you
just saying the juice of it, which
right.
I didn't know that either. So.
Yeah, okay. Or if you buy the little container of pre-shucked oysters, which they have at some of the better places, they're in a liquid. But that gives you that deep flavor. Sometimes I'll get decadent and buy a little tin of smoked oysters and throw them in.
Yeah.
And then for herbs, I always go fresh thyme and parsley.
Okay.
And a little bit of either Cajun seasoning or Old Bay really makes it beautiful for me. A little bit of Cajun seasoning in there is
nice. Great. Debbie, you want to follow up real quick here before the break?
I think that he answered my major questions. The only other thing was a gravy for people that are not.
Yes, I've made a lot of vegan gravy
for
Thanksgiving. Here's what you want to do. You want to go to the Asian market and get a little bag of dried shiitake mushrooms.
Oh, yeah.
And red miso, not white miso, red miso. You cook the dried shiitake mushrooms. Yes, the red miso is a darker color. And you cook your dried shiitake mushrooms in water, maybe a little wine, maybe a little mirepoix. You're making a rich mushroom stock.
Yeah.
And then you put that in the blender and you puree it. Maybe not all the mushrooms, but enough. And then you finish it with a little bit of that red miso, almost the way you would use like bouillon paste. But to get that flavor and then thicken it with a little bit of cornstarch. And you have a delicious vegan gravy. We make gallons of it every year.
Oh, fantastic.
World Home Cooking. But the red miso and shiitake, pow. Delicious.
Debbie, we got to take a break, but thanks for the call. Happy Thanksgiving. So next time on the show, we'll do some shots of oyster liquor. I'm interested now. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551. We'll be back with Chef Rick Orlando. Matt Jorgensen with an interesting take on Tomorrow Never Knows. 800-348-2551. Ray Graff with you. It's Food Friday. Chef Rick Orlando is our guest, and he's getting us ready for Thanksgiving.
That was cool, by the way.
You like that?
Yeah, that was cool.
That's probably 10 or 15 years
old. In the back of my, I'm not really paying attention. I'm like, hey, wait a minute.
It's Seattle. I think he's a Seattle musician and drummer, I believe, but a great, great group there. All right, this one's from Susanna in Bern.
Zeus.
Thanks, Rick, about the bay leaf trick. I spent 3 weeks traveling in Croatia this early fall and got really excited about finding the bay leaf bushes. I brought a whole bag of dried bay leaves back to the U.S. What a difference in aroma.
It's unbelievable. A fresh bay leaf, it's an epiphany. It changes your life.
Well, happy Thanksgiving, Susanna. Let's go to Connecticut once again. And Chris, where are you calling from in Connecticut?
Torrington area.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Great to be here. I listen to you a lot.
Thanks.
I hope I get a signal still. Can you hear me?
Oh yeah, you sound great, man.
Okay, I used to live in New York City. I'm a musician. I'm a jazz musician actually, and I used to play at this place called Wells Chicken and Waffles.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
Hello.
Hello. We got you. Keep going.
This is all about the bone-in chicken and waffles. You had to have it at Wells to really understand the significance.
If they're going to call themselves chicken and waffles, yes, you better have to have it there. It better be good.
All right, fair enough.
They claim to be one of the originals, if not the original.
How long ago was that, Chris?
Oh, 20 years ago, and they closed not too long after, unfortunately.
What's your axe, man? What do you play?
Saxophone.
Yeah. Are you a tenor guy?
I'm Chris with a K, and I'm from upstate, actually. I'm from Binghamton originally.
Yeah.
So I had a great gig in Utica the other day, actually, at the other side, which is a great upstate venue.
Cool. Well, yeah, well, great. They got slammed with snow in Binghamton, by the way. I've been seeing the pictures.
They did get slammed. I'm trying to get in touch with my brothers, but they might be out of power.
Oh, well, I think some people did lose it. So you Barry Sax player, you tenor, what do you do mainly?
Mostly tenor, but I play all of them.
Barry's my favorite. Hey, man, thanks a lot. Have a great Thanksgiving. Appreciate the call. And when you get a good Barry Sax player, man, it just makes all the difference.
Do you remember the band Morphine?
Yeah.
Oh, Dana sure. was a good friend of mine. They were all friends of mine, but Dana, the sax player, played in a band called Three Colors. And that, the way they used that sax, Sandman's voice, and just the bass as a guitar was, I think, genius.
Basie had one of the best Barry Sax players, yeah. And it makes all that difference in the world. You know who's a big Morphine, the band, not the substance, Morphine fan is John Fisher from CIA. You probably know John, too, right?
What did he do?
John Fisher?
Yeah.
No, he teaches down at the CIA.
I know. But how does he connect with...
He's a fan. He's a fan.
Fan.
I don't think he was in the band, but I'll ask him next time. So. No, Jay in Sharon Springs, you're on.
Hi, Jay.
Hey there. I just have to give a huge compliment. Thank you, Rick. I raised heritage breed turkeys, and I'm always telling people the exact way to cook a turkey that you just said. The fast, high heat for about 20. I actually go up to 40 minutes. And then low heat, and it is foolproof.
It's foolproof.
I raise heritage breed turkeys, so they're not. They don't have all that other stuff
right
in there. And it's great. I'm glad that you spread the word.
Yeah, I mean, I said 20 minutes, but on the recipe it says 20 minutes or until it looks like it's perfectly golden brown and cooked. So if you have to keep going, set your timer for 10 minutes and keep popping your head in the oven. But yes, exactly.
Perfect.
Food science.
Every week I have one here. You can stop by anytime.
All right.
Thanks, Jay. Have a great Thanksgiving. Appreciate it. Let's see. How about we go to Vermont? Carl, where are you calling from in Vermont? Hello, Carl. Are you there?
Carl on the mountaintop.
Hello there, Carl. How you doing there, buddy?
All right.
Okay, well.
He got a call from his wife.
Goodbye, Carl. It's been nice talking to you. Let's go to North Adams. It's Jim. Hello, you're on.
Looking for Jim?
Yeah.
Where's Jim? Is this Jim?
Yeah, hey, real quick. Suggestion for Thanksgiving for one or two. I used to do with my roommate, I used to do us each a Cornish game hen.
Yeah, that's nice.
And the presentation is just beautiful. Whatever side you want to put it on. No leftovers to mess with, very little cleanup. So that and duck breast, try serving it with wild rice.
Of course, classic, right? Duck and wild rice.
Yep.
It was bad. Okay.
That's a classic one.
That's good, man.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. All right, I was just thinking back now. He's talking about that. You know, when you're a parent, you've been there. When the kids are little, sometimes holidays don't go as planned. And so, you know, we had one or two Thanksgivings where two in a row where everybody in the family had stomach flu.
Oh.
And there was one that was staggered. And I remember just the horror and sadness when wife wasn't up to cooking. The kids were not eating because everybody was Ralphing. And I went out and got Swanson
turkey
dinners, and I put them out, and my wife just cried and cried.
Oh, you know, but that's a story, and that's a legend, and a little TMI, but it is a legend.
What do you mean TMI? What?
Too much information.
Because of what? Stomach? What, your kids never got stomach flu?
Well, Thanksgiving, the whole idea. Well, like a full house, you know, the whole thing.
Well, we never have I don't entertain at all. In fact, I'm not entertaining now. Andrew,
you are very entertaining.
Andrew writes in, simple question. Should we cover the bird or not?
You only cover the bird if it's getting too dark.
Yeah.
They tent it at that point. But no, don't cover the bird.
Okay. Nah. Let's go back to the phones at 800.
It'll make the skin soggy.
And you don't want that. You want the crisp. Some people probably like the
soggy. It's like getting a suntan.
No one does that anymore. You don't intend to go out and get a suntan, do you?
I lay in the sun.
Do you really?
Yeah.
You really are a dinosaur. 800-34-
Look at that skin. Come on.
800-348-2551.
Not a wrinkle.
Mark in Queensbury. Mark, you're on.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey, Mark.
Oh, great. How are you?
Good. I've never made a venison stuffing before, and I'm going to experiment for Thanksgiving.
and just looking for any suggestions.
A venison stuffing? You mean like a side dish? Are you using ground venison?
Yeah, well, making the stuffing in a side dish and using venison. I've done it with sausage before, but never with venison.
Right. So are you using so let me ask you, what type of venison will you be using?
It'll be a ground venison.
Ground venison. So I hate to say duh, but season it just like sausage. Get that same flavor because that's a flavor that you want. A little garlic, salt, sage, the ratio, you can look it up. I believe it's 0.03 salt to meat, but, you know, salt it. I like a little white pepper, maybe a little juniper. Make a nice venison sausage, you know, and crumble it in there, saute it. Also, if you can get your hands on a little venison liver, put that in the
really?
Food. Oh, put it in the food processor with a little milk and then add that into it so it can hold it together. Oh, my God.
You ever done that, Mark?
What's that?
Venison liver?
Hey, Mark.
No, I haven't, but I've heard about adding liver and heart is what I've heard.
Yeah, well, heart gets a little dry. Heart is delicious. It's super lean. So heart's a muscle, not an organ, right?
Right.
So it's like the leanest part. But, yeah, I've done it where you different types of dishes like that where you take the liver. I take the liver, put a chunk of liver and a little bit of milk in the food processor and puree it, and then as I'm cooking it down and adding my stock, I'll add a little bit of that in there, and it gives a nice, rich, almost like pate-like flavor.
Yeah. Did you hunt yourself and get this, Mark?
No, my son did.
Nah, congrats. That's cool. Well, good luck. Happy Thanksgiving. You know, we never really did a show that was focused on venison. I haven't had venison
or game in general
30 years. I mean, my mother used to ship it out to me.
So we have these guys who live near me who like to hunt on my property.
Yeah.
I make deals with them. It's like, okay, give me a piece. You
yeah.
can go. But every year before the season starts in late September or October, they all call and say, I'm emptying the freezer. You want any? So they buy it. They get it cut up. They freeze it. They eat about a third of it. And then when the new season comes, they purge it and start again.
Yeah.
But whatever.
How long
I made venison prosciutto one year, which was incredible.
Well, I think that you might be onto something. What I had problem with when the deer is good, when the venison is good and not too gamey, it can be excellent. She shipped some, my mom, some venison lasagna, and it was not good, man. It was really gamey and just, you
really
know, yeah.
Well, venison also likes to be marinated or brined. And the other thing is a lot of people don't hang their venison. They say, it needs to be fresh. I mean, when my friend gets one on my property, we hang it, especially in this weather.
Yeah.
For 5 or 6 days outside. And that completely mellows it and makes it more tender. You know, when you eat it fresh, really like cut it up within a day and freeze it, it's going to taste like blood. It's not going to
going
to have that nice flavor that you want.
But it can be phenomenal. I mean,
sometimes
it's great.
Is great.
Yep. All right, let's go.
And you know what? It's a free range, organic, natural product that we should be eating more of. If I had my druthers, I would take over the Board of Ed and say, school lunches, we're going to hunt 1,000 venison a year and make venison burgers for the kids and not even tell them. They won't know the difference, and they'll eat their little burgers instead of having venison, instead of having cows.
All right, let's see how that goes over.
Yeah. You do some goose in there. Grind them all up. Come on.
Well, you just blew your shot of being on the Board of Education in your town.
Thank you.
John and Troy, you're on.
Hey, John.
Hi. I was wondering, way back at the beginning, someone was talking about mushrooms for stuffing.
Yeah.
I was wondering how you feel about oyster mushrooms or lion's mane mushrooms for that.
Yeah, I think they're great. I mean, oyster mushrooms to me are the best for texture, right? They got great texture, especially if you like to put a little olive oil and salt and pepper on them and just put them on a sheet pan and bake them in the oven for a while to dehydrate them a bit and get that nice chewy texture.
Yeah.
Where lion's mane is more creamy, more like crab, more subtle. So depending on what you do, they both work. Absolutely. Mushrooms are amazing to me. It was a real horrible year.
I haven't had lion's mane mushrooms yet, but I had some oyster mushrooms from the farmer's market a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And they were great.
Yeah, oyster mushrooms are really good. My son is vegetarian. He makes fried chicken with them.
No kidding.
He literally just dips them in like a Korean cornstarch batter and deep fry.
You told him that chicken is meat, right?
Anyway, he's with oyster mushrooms.
Oh, he faked it.
Yeah.
So it's not really fried chicken.
He puts them there and drizzles them with like buffalo sauce or Korean barbecue. And they're texturally really similar. They really have a nice texture.
So interesting. John, thanks for the call.
Thanks, John.
You know who's back? Carl is back in Vermont. We tried to get to talk to Carl. Carl, what it is? You're on.
Hey.
There he is.
A friend of mine gave me about 10 pounds of string beans a while back. And I have a bag of flour in my freezer. It's got all sorts of herbs in it. But I pulled some of them out the other day, and I put them in milk, put them in the flour, and shook it up, and I deep-fried it,
mm-hmm.
which is a really great alternative to the usual can of mushroom soup.
Yeah, I mean, that is great because, you know, again, being a big proponent of seasonal, if you've got something when it's in season and frozen it, that passes. That passes the Rick test, so that would be a seasonal
the Rick test.
Yeah, you can fry them. You can make string bean casserole with them. You can make my famous blackened string beans, but once they're frozen, they get a little flaccid for that. So, yeah, you don't have to make the mushroom soup thing, but you can definitely make fried string beans, string bean casserole. I even like what the Italians do, which you stew them with tomatoes.
I love that.
You know,
yeah.
Some potatoes. Yeah, it's delicious.
Carl, you ever had Rick's blackened green bean recipe?
For that.
It's,
no.
It's crazy, man. Good. It's so good. It's
kind of legendary. You know, like one-hit wonder wherever I go, people say, hey, you're the string beans guy.
Yeah, you're like the Starland vocal band.
Yeah, just go to rickorlando.com.
Right.
Wow, what made you think of that hit?
Well, they had one hit, right? They won a Grammy, right, and it was pathetic.
Yeah.
Carl, thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551. Only a couple minutes. You ever make turkey croquettes after Thanksgiving?
Yes, but now we make gumbo every year.
Well, that'll work, too.
I make turkey gumbo. As a matter of fact, the recipe booklet that I put online, the last recipe, is called The Next Day. You're going to have leftover stock. You can make your roux in advance, and you just make a nice turkey gumbo, and it's a great...
Oh, that's fantastic.
I mean, sandwiches are fun, but even after the sandwiches, there's still meat, right? There's
right.
still all that scrappy meat. Throw some sausage in there, make a good turkey gumbo. That is... usually Saturday night's dinner is turkey gumbo.
I mean, we do the turkey croquettes, which I'm told is a lot of work, but it's really great.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd rather have that than the turkey, to be honest with you. I'd rather go right to the croquettes. And then what we'll do is we'll take my father-in-law's recipe for the stuffing that we have, plenty mm-hmm. of that left over. You make a sandwich with that, and it's...
Yeah, I mean, the turkey sandwiches are really...
Yeah.
They're a great thing. They're really... The turkey is a really good excuse to eat a lot of mayonnaise.
Absolutely. And who needs an excuse?
Right? But it's a beautiful thing. Yeah, you know, leftover turkey to me. So I did a presentation. We have 2 minutes left. A few back when the economy tanked in 2008 or 2009. I think it was the Department of State or something.
Yeah.
It was economic cooking for WIC mothers. A turkey, one turkey, if you learn how to break it down into cutlets, into legs, into thighs, into wings, for like... $20,
yeah.
you can get probably 10 meals for a family of four.
Yeah, oh, I believe it.
Unbelievable. It was so economical.
Well,
we don't do anything. We eat turkey cold cuts, and some people buy ground turkey, which is okay, and we roast turkey. But to break it down into scallopini, you know, into skewers, into braising the thighs, into smoking or barbecuing the legs.
Nice.
One of my favorites is turkey necks. They sell them at Adams, cut
yeah.
into like 1-inch pieces. And
yeah.
brown them and then just keep adding stock and braise them for hours and serve them with beans. Real Southern thing. Soup, stock, you name it. Yeah.
You ever make turkey a la king? Who was the king, by the way? I'd like to know. Was it Elvis?
No, I think it was. Who was that guy? He looked like Paul Prudhomme, the Italian chef on TV.
Dom DeLuise.
Dom DeLuise. Chicken a la king.
Oh, no.
But I actually watched a video recently because I'm thinking about doing a Roaring Twenties dinner and a la king. Was basically cream sauce, you know,
yeah.
the bechamel sauce,
and you had it in the puff pastries, right? That's how
puff
my mom used to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what though, man? If you're doing a 20s thing, here's a meal. Here's something I've never had that I've looked for in every restaurant in Maine that we've ever been to, and that's lobster thermidor. I've never had it, but that's a 20s sort
Jack's
of thing.
Used to have that on the menu till recently.
Yeah,
recently, whenever they closed.
Right, but. I could never afford to go there, and plus they wouldn't let me in because I never wore a tie.
Ah, well. I never knew that because I always went in the back door.
Well, the legislators, you know, they like to have
lobster thermidor. Yeah, that sounds like something you could bring up to Maine and bring lobsters home in.
Yeah.
Lobsters in my thermidor.
All right.
Yeah, I'll try it.
How do people find you?
Okay, so it's RICOrlando.com is my website. Chef Rick Orlando is all the social. Follow me because I put out free recipes. I've got a Substack. I'm entertaining. I'm a wise guy.
Yeah, you certainly
and
are.
And I engage. I talk back. I don't just absorb. I kick back. So.
All right, you ready? Now I only have a very brief time to do these underwriting credits. Mm-hmm. Support comes from the Cheese Traveler Albany, a purveyor of handcrafted domestic and imported cheeses, charcuterie, pantry items, grilled cheese curated from farms, dairies, and producers locally and around the globe. TheCheeseTraveler.com. Rolling Rock Farm Salted Seasonings, working to spread peace, love, and happiness with handcrafted and small batches infused sea salts, pepper, and blends, specializing in black garlic, rollingrocksalt.com. And Broad and Taylor, makers of bread baking tools and equipment for listeners who are interested in beginning their sourdough journey, recipes, how-to videos, and store at Broad, spelled B-R-O-D, and Taylor.com. Well, I'm about to have a coronary. Have a great weekend.